ஓம் ஸ்ரீ குருப்போ நமஹ. ஹரிஹி ஓம். சதா சிவ சமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சாரிய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சாரிய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம் சத்குரு சரணாரவிந்தாப்யாம் நமஹ. பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ் சாப்டர் 4 பாதா 2 வாக் அதிகரணம். வாங் மனசி தர்ஷனாச்சப்தாச்ச அதயேவச்ச சர்வாணி அனு. வி ஹவ் என்டர்ட் தி செகண்ட் பாதா ஆஃப் தி ஃபோர்த் சாப்டர் ஆஃப் பிரம்மசூத்ராஸ். அண்ட் ஆஸ் ஐ மென்ஷன்ட் ஏர்லியர், இட் ஹாஸ் 4 பாதாஸ் அண்ட் ஆல் ஆஃப் தம் டீல் வித் தி ஃபலம் அண்ட் ஹென்ஸ் இட் இஸ் கால்ட் ஃபல அத்யாய. The first pada and the fourth pada, they deal with nirguna vidya phalam, whereas the second and the third padas, they deal with krama mukti phalam of saguna upasana, saguna upasana phala roopa krama mukti. So if second and the third padas deal with krama mukti, then what is the difference between these two padas? In the second pada, Vyasacharya concentrates upon the topic of departure of jiva, how the saguna upasaka leaves the body for attaining krama mukti. All words one should be careful: saguna upasaka, krama mukti. In case of nirguna jnani, jiva does not leave the body and the body dissolves here itself. But in the case of saguna upasaka, jiva leaves the body. When we say body dissolves means it is not the sthula sharira. We are talking about the sukshma sharira and all that. It is called utkranti. And the second pada deals with saguna upasaka's departure. And the third pada deals with the same, but it deals with as to how the saguna upasaka travels after death. In the previous second pada, how it departs. Third, how the jiva, the saguna upasaka, jiva travels after death. The route it takes is specifically discussed. And what are the devatas that are there? Which all devatas assist this jiva? Which takes from which point to which point? All those things, they are all discussed in great detail in this pada. It is called Gatihi. So regarding the departure, there is an important mantra occurring in Chandogya Upanishad, and therefore in the first 3 adhikaranams, topics of this pada, Vyasacharya analyzes that particular mantra which we had seen in the last class itself. It is from the 6th chapter of Chandogya, 8th section, 6th mantra, Asya Somya Purushasya Prayataha Vang Manasi Sampadyate மனஹா பிராணே பிராணஹா தேஜசி தேஜசா தேஜஹம் பரஸ்யாம் தேவதாயாம். This was the mantra we read in the last class. So the essence of the mantra is what? When an ajnani dies, be careful. When an ajnani dies, what happens to him or her? Ajnani includes upasaka also. Upasaka is not a jnani, but still he is an ajnani. And Vyasacharya chooses to analyze these things in this adhikaranam, 1-3 of this adhikaranam, of this particular chapter, particular pada. Prayataha. Prayataha means leaving. Prayatam means because one who has already left. So all sense organs of a dying person gradually withdraw and merge into mind. All sense organs gradually withdraw and merge into mind. The walk here means, literally means organ of speech, but it means here all the 10 organs, 5 karmendriyas, 5 jnanendriyas, all together, walk is only upalakshana. And the mind resolves into prana, and prana resolves into tejas. That is what is said. Vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane. And pranaha tejasi. That's what this mantra says. So mind resolves into prana and prana resolves into tejas. and tejas resolves into paradevata, meaning paramatma ishwaraha. Thus there are four stages before merging into paramatma, and we have completed the first adhikaranam in the last class. And in that adhikaranam, Vyasacharya raised the question, what do you mean by sense organs resolving into the mind? Is it the sense organs themselves resolve, or only the sense functions resolve into the mind? Was the question. Indriyalaya or Indriya Vrittilaya? Was the question. Indriyalaya is the sense organs themselves resolve into the mind, or Indriya Vrittilaya means the sense functions, they resolve into the mind. So the instrument does not dissolve. For example, the instrument of speech, that does not dissolve, but the speaking function, that is only absolved. And Vyasacharya established it. It is not sense organs that dissolve, but only the functions, they dissolve. And he gave the logic also then. Anything can dissolve only into the material cause. For example, a pot can dissolve into clay only and not into gold. The law is what? Karya dravyam karana dravye praliyate. Applying this principle, we analyzed, and the mind is not the material cause of the sense organs. On the other hand, pancha bhutas, they are the material cause. So the functions alone can dissolve into the mind and not the indriyam itself. And later Vyasacharya extended this principle to other organs also, quoting Prashnopanishad mantra, which also we saw in the last class, as his support. And what was the mantra? Tejaha hava udanaha tasmat upashanta tejaha punarbhavam indriyaihi manasi sampadyamanaihi. All that we read in the last class itself. So the first part of Utkranti is now over. We saw up to this in the last class. Now Vyasacharya enters into the next stage of Utkranti of Saguna Upasaka. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam. Manodhikaranam tanmanaha prana uttarat. Tanmanaha prana uttarat. Third mantra, second pada, fourth chapter, 499th running Brahma Sutra. It has been shown that the passage, speech is merged into mind. Vang manasi sampadyate, merging of the function only, not the indriyam itself, we have already said. Now a doubt arises whether the subsequent class, manaha prane, the next particular sentence in the particular mantra, manaha prane, mind, it resolves into breath, prana. It also indicates merging of the function only, or to which the function belongs. The indriyam or the indriya vritti. Same question here also. Now let us do a general introduction to this adhikaranam with only one sutra. And the subject matter of this adhikaranam is that we have seen all sensory functions resolve into the mind. All sensory functions resolve into the mind. It is shastraically true and experienced by those who observe the process of death. Means somebody is dying, once a person was by the side, that kind of thing. As even one dies, all sensory functions, they dissolve into mind. And the expression of any of the feelings and all is not possible at the time of death, but the person's mind still functions. How do you know? You see tears, they're rolling down the eyes. You can see the tears from their eyes. It shows violent thoughts are happening in the mind. The body language also indicates that walk is withdrawn, but still mind is functional for a dying person. It is pratyaksha pramana siddham. You can see it. Now Vyasacharya asks, what happens to the mind? Vyasacharya says, mind dissolves into the prana, the mukhya prana. Therefore, Vyasacharya says, the second stage of departure is mind dissolving into prana, and thoughts also gradually recede. So first, all the indriya vrittis, they dissolve into mind, and then mind dissolves into prana, and the thoughts also gradually they recede. And the capacity to thinking and emotion, they get withdrawn. So the same Chandogya Upanishad mantra is pramanam for this. And what is that? Asya somyam purushasya prayataha vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane pranaha tejasi tejaha parasyam devatayam. So in the previous adhikaranam, we saw the sensory organs dissolving, and now we see the mind dissolving into prana. Here also the same doubt is raised, whether the mind dissolves or the mental function dissolves. And the Upanishad is not clear. Here also Vyasacharya says, by the same logic, you should conclude mind does not dissolve into the prana, but mind's function, the function of the mind, that alone dissolves into prana. Vachyartha should not be taken because it is illogical. Mind is not a product of prana, because we already told only karana karya sambandha should be there. Both mind and prana do not have karana karya sambandha. The word manaha should, through implication, mind should reveal the mental function only. Even though the mantra says mind manaha, it should be understood as the mental function. Function can dissolve into prana, and karana karya sambandha is not required. For mind to dissolve into prana, there should be the cause and effect relationship should be there. But mind is not caused by prana. So karana karya sambandha is not there, but the thought, the mind function, vrittis can dissolve into prana. For example, if you take the heat of the fire, it dissolves into water, even though karana karya sambandha is not there. This is the essence of this adhikaran, this is the example given. And Shankaracharya discusses an additional point also, which we will see after discussing the meaning of this mantra. Now let us do the word analysis of this sutra. Tanmanaha prana uttarat. Tanmanaha prana uttarat. Tanmanaha, tadmanaha refers to that mental function that resolves. We have to supply resolves. Prane. Prana, prana uttarat, prane. Prana means in prana, uttarat. This is known from the subsequent portion of the Chandogya mantra 6.8.6 that we just read. The significance of the words, now let us see. Mind means in the previous adhikaranam, mind has been presented as locus of sensory functions, dissolving into that mind. Here, mind, we should take the mental function and not mind as such, not mind as an indriyam, but the mental functions are the indriya vrittis, thoughts and all. They are all indriya vritti. Then we have to supply the verb resolves. So the dying person loses the capacity to identify the persons who come or gathered around there. Lot of people come and they gather around. They ask the person, do you understand me? I have come. They tell all the details. This guy is already dying and in great pain or whatever it is. He is in Marana Avastha. And this person wants to know he should be recognized. All that thing. We have seen all that. Therefore, Chandogya Upanishad says, as long as mental function is not resolved, that person recognizes. But when the mind is resolved, he is unable to even recognize people. This indicates mind resolves into prana. And the next word is prana. Pranaha tejasi. So they dissolve into prana. Mind dissolves into prana. Uttarad means here the subsequent portion. Subsequent portion of the Chandogya mantra 6.8.6, that which we have used in the previous adhikaranam. And then why do we quote here the Shruti Pramanam? Because what happens to the dying person cannot be known through what? Through any pratyaksha pramanam. You can see a person dying, but what happens to that person cannot be known through any pratyaksha pramanam. So we have to only go to Shruti, the Veda pramanam only. The mind itself is apratyaksham. We cannot see the mind. How can I then know the dying person's mind resolves or not? And where does it resolve also is apratyaksham. It's not pratyaksham. Where does it resolve also is apratyaksham. Now, there is an additional point that is discussed by Shankaracharya, which I mentioned earlier. He raises a Purvapakshi here. He says, in the previous Adhikaranam, I am able to accept that vak does not dissolve into mind, but vak vritti, the function of speech, that alone dissolves, since no karana kari sambandha exists between vak and prana, the manas. But in the case of manaha, prane, that is what is said, then I have an argument, Purvapakshi says. He says, mind and prana do have karana kari sambandha, unlike vak and mind. I hope you are with me. Mind and prana, the Purvapakshi claims, has karana kari sambandha. Cause-effect relationship is there between mind and prana, whereas in between vak and mind, there is no such. Therefore, the mind can dissolve into prana. Mind organ, mind indriyam, not the thoughts, vritti alone. So, vachyartha can be applied and you need not take the lakshyartha. That is whose argument? Purvapakshi's argument. And the Purvapakshi so shows, for that also another mantra from Chandogya Upanishad. He shows that both has karana kari sambandha, and he quotes a mantra from Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 5th section, 4th mantra. Annamayagumhi somya manaha, apomayaha pranaha, tejomayi vag iti bhuyayeva ma bhagavan vijnapayatviti tata somyeti hovacha. It means mind is a product of the earth. Annamayagumhi somya manaha. Manas is only annamaya. Is only product of the earth element, prithivi. So prithivi karyam is manaha. The effect of prithivi, earth, is manas. Then the same mantra says, apomayaha pranaha. Prana is jala karyam. It is the effect from jalam, jala tattvam. Since manaha is anna karyam means prithivi karyam. Mind's essential nature must be prithivi, earth, because prithivi karyatvata. Just as, for example, ornament is golden because it is made of gold. Similarly, prana is jalatmakam, being the product of jalam. Apomayaha pranaha. So it is a product of jalam. It is Shruti Vakyam, said in Chandogya itself. Therefore, manaha prithivi rupam and pranaha jala rupam, jala karyatvat. All these who says Purvapakshi. And once you accept manaha is prithivi rupam and prana is jala rupam, then manaha becomes the product of jala rupa pranaha. Because both have karana kari sambandha. If you remember Taittiriya Upanishad, jalam alone, from jalam alone prithivi came. And in place of jalam, you place prana, and in place of prithivi, you place mind. Akashad vayuhu, vayor agnihi, agnirapaha, adbya prithivi. So, all these mantras support that there is that sambandha. So there is karana karya sambandha between these two. Why cannot karya manaha? Karya manaha, manas is a effect. Directly, karya manaha. Why cannot karya manaha directly dissolve into prana jalaha? Jala tattva. Shankaracharya says, I cannot accept your argument because karana karya sambandha also is of two types. One is direct karana karya sambandha and the other is indirect karana karya sambandha. Direct karana karya sambandha means directly something is born out of the other. For example, like jalam and prithivi. But when we discuss manaha and prana, they do not have direct karana karya sambandha because prana does not directly produce the mind. Therefore, you have to establish that karana karya sambandha only indirectly. And Shankaracharya calls this as pranadika. Pranadika means intervention or medium. There should be a medium indirectly. So it means an indirect method. Indirectly only it can be established. Between the two, you cannot directly prove the karana karya sambandha. Jalam and prithivi has karana karya sambandha, and therefore manaha and prana has got karana karya sambandha. Therefore, you have to know the difference between direct and indirect karana karya sambandha.
between prithvi and jalam, there is direct karana-karya sambandha. And between mind and prana, there is indirect karana-karya sambandha. There is also a second law that we have to notice. In the first case, only when the karana-karya sambandha is direct, then karya can resolve into karanam. A karyam cannot resolve into karanam if the karana-karya sambandha is pranadika, indirect. And sub-commentators, they also give an example to make it clear. They give an example of the snow in Himalayas. They gave from Himalayas, we can give snow from here also. So snow from Himalayas, and the snow is what? It is jalakarya. Snow is jalakaryam, effect of jalam. Jalam is the cause, it freezes to snow. And if you take pot, a pot, that is prithivi karyam, because pot is made out of earth. So prithivi and jalam, there is karanakarya sambandha. Between prithivi and jalam, there is karanakarya sambandha. And extending that principle, you can say pot and snow have got also karanakarya sambandha. I hope you are with me. The snow in Himalayas, that is jalakaryam. Snow anywhere is jalakaryam. And pot is prithivi karyam. So prithivi and jalam, that is karanakarya sambandha, one can say. Extending that principle, you can say pot and snow also have got karanakarya sambandha. Prithivi and jalam have karanakarya sambandha. And pot and snow also have got karanakarya sambandha, one can say. That means what one should understand? Pot can be produced from snow. But what type of karanakarya sambandha they have? It is indirect karanakarya sambandha between pot and snow. Therefore, pot cannot resolve into snow. If pot has to resolve, it can resolve only into clay, into earth, not into snow. They do not have that possibility. In the same way, pranaha and manaha, it cannot resolve into prana. Mind cannot direct. Mind means mind organ cannot resolve into prana. Mind functions can. This is an additional argument given by Shankaracharya. Now let us go to the next adhikarana. Adhyakshadhikaranam. Sodhyakshe tat upagamadibhyaha. Sodhyakshe tat upagamadibhyaha. Fourth Sutra, second Pada, fourth chapter, 500th running Brahma Sutra. Now let us see a general introduction to this adhikaranam with only two sutras. And the subject matter of this adhikaranam is what happens to the prana of a dying person. We have seen the sense organs and also the mind. Both we have seen sense organs, the sense functions, they all resolve into the mind. Mind dissolves into prana and all that thing. We are trying to understand all that. Functionally, sense organs resolve into mind, and mind function, the function of mind, vrittis, that resolve into prana. So with respect to prana, there is problem. Two different Vedic mantras give two different versions here. That is the reason why there is confusion with respect to prana. First, in Chandogya Upanishad, the current one which we analyze, that is 6.8.6, according to that mantra that we just saw, pranaha tejasi. Prana dissolve into the tejas tattvam, which means agni tattvam, which is one of the five elements. And according to the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra, prana dissolves into jiva or chidabhasa. So Chandogya Upanishad mantra says prana dissolves into the agni tattvam. According to Brihadaranyaka Upanishad mantra, prana dissolves into jiva or the chidabhasa, reflected consciousness. So first statement occurs in the fourth chapter, third section, 38th mantra, Brihadaranyaka. And that mantra is evameva imam atmanam antakale sarve pranaha abhisamayanti yatraitat urdva uchchavasi bhavati. According to this mantra, prana goes into jivatma. Imam atmanam antakale sarve pranaha abhisamayanti. Atmanam jivatmanam antakale, they all abhisamayanti. They dissolve into them. The Shankaracharya and Vyasacharya, they refer to as upagamaha. In the sutra, sodhyakshate tat upagamadibhyaha. That upagama is represented by this process. Now, prana approaches jiva, and from various parts of the body, the pancha pranas, when we say prana approaches, there are pancha pranas which are responsible for 5 different physiological functions. Prana, apana, vyana, udana, samana, all those details we should know. So all of them, they pancha pranas, they are supposed to withdraw from the body and they all join the jivatma. These are for a dying question we are talking. Who is supposed to be located in the heart? So the jivatma is supposed to be located in the heart, like the chidabhasa. Like the children all wanting to join the parents, all these pranas, they join the heart before departure of the soul, or the sajivatma, whatever it is. And the 4th chapter, 4th section, 2nd mantra of Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, that says, pranaha, prana manaha, utkramantagum, sarve pranaha, anutkramanti, savijnano bhavati. That is that mantra. It says the prana departs the body along with jivatma. This is called prana anutkramana. Anutkramanam is the prana. This is prana departs the body along with jivatma. So anutkramanam means accompaniment. It accompanies. And the third statement is savijnano bhavati. Savijnano bhavati, in the same mantra that I just read, savijnano bhavati, here it is said that jivatma knows, saha vijnanaha bhavati, the jivatma, saha refers to jivatma, knows the its future at the time of departure. Departure means departure from the world. At the time of departure, the jivatma knows its future. All these we discussed in great detail during those Upanishads. Please refer to those mantras if you want additional information. I am only giving only the cryptic remarks. So here it is said the jivatma knows its future at the time of departure, at the time of death. This is called savijnanatvam, sahavijnanatvam. And what is the significance of savijnanam? If jivatma is aware of its future at the time of death, it is implied that mind should be there, the jivatma. Because where are the thoughts are there? It is the mind. So if jivatma is aware of its future, it is implied that mind should be there, the jivatma. So without the mind, jivatma cannot know the future. Mind is the locus. If mind is to be there, then prana has to be there. Mind cannot function without prana. So because the mind has joined the prana at the time of death, and if mind has to be there with jivatma, prana also has to be there with jivatma. So mind, prana, jivatma, all three things are together. Savijnana that reveals mind along with prana is with jivatma. The savijnana, savijnano bhavati, that particular statement, what does it say? It says mind along with prana exists with jivatma at the time of departure. All these three ideas reveal prana is with jivatma. Okay. But Chandogya Upanishad, what does it say? Prana is agni tattvam. Now the controversy is whether we should go by Chandogya Upanishad or Brihadaranyaka Upanishad Vakyam. Whether prana goes to Agni Tattvam or prana goes to Jivatma Tattvam. I hope you are with me with the controversy. And Vyasacharya will say both statements are true. And in fact, prana goes to Jivatma, which is with Agni Tattvam. Prana, according to him, prana goes to Jivatma, all right, which is with Agni Tattvam. Jivatma is with Agni Tattvam also. Or it goes to Agni Tattva Sahita Jivatma. It goes to Agni Tattva Sahita Jivatma. And there is a confusion regarding this because there are seemingly contradictory statements in the Shruti itself, in Veda itself. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad says prana merges into the Atma Tattvam, while Chandogya Upanishad says prana merges into the Tejas Tattvam, Agni Tattvam, which is correct. And Vyasacharya establishes both statements are valid, as I just now said. Since some technical aspects are there, I will give only the overall picture now. Vyasacharya points out that Brihadaranyaka Upanishad should be taken as the main statement. And jiva travels along with prana. And the aside point we have to remember, and what is that? The discussion centers around whom? Around an ajnani, ajnani karmi, ajnani upasakas. We are not talking about jnani here. Discussion centers around an ajnani, ajnani karmi, ajnani upasaka. So this is the primary thing. And here we also have to remember that the teaching is given in which place? in the section called Panchagni Vidya. We have seen Panchagni Vidya in both the Upanishads, Chandogya and Brihadaranyaka. This is elaborately studied before in the third chapter, first adhikaranam of Brahma Sutra, Tadantara Pratipatya Adhikaranam. And there also we saw what happens to Jivatma at the time of death. At the time of death, the Agni Devata witnesses the creation. The Agni Devata witnesses the cremation, sorry. And Agni Devata takes the present body and gives the next physical body also at that instant itself. Agni Devata witnesses the cremation and Agni Devata takes the present body and gives the next physical body. And the next body, physical body is received at the time of cremation itself. These are all very, very startling points for us to understand. These are all given only in the Shruti. We cannot ask for any proof. The next physical body is already received at the time of cremation itself. It was said where? In the Panchagni Vidya. And that it is not received in full-fledged form, but it is received in subtle version of gross elements. The next physical body in the subtle form, this is not the subtle body, don't confuse. It's a gross body only. Gross body only, made up of all the five elements, that is received in a subtle form, subtle version of the gross elements. So subtle elements is the raw material for the next body, and these are called subtle sthula panchabhutani. Sthula panchabhutani. Let us not confuse with the subtle body. Subtle sthula panchabhutani. So these gross elements, which would evolve in the next physical body, and it is with the jiva only. So sthula bhuta amshas, they surround this body. All the gross amshas, gross aspects from the panchabhutas. So prana surrounds the jiva and jiva is surrounded by the sthula bhuta amsha. So prana surrounds the jiva, prana is subtle, surrounds the jiva, which is surrounded by the sthula bhuta amsha. So prana sagita jiva is associated with sthula panchabhutani. You are with me with all the evolutions. Prana sagita jiva, the jiva with a prana, is associated with the sthula panchabhutani. Since prana joins the jiva and jiva joins the panchabhutani, we can say prana joins panchabhutani. Prana joins jiva, jiva joins panchabhutas. There is nothing wrong in saying prana joins panchabhutas. That is the argument Vyasacharya gives. Nothing wrong in saying prana joins the panchabhutas. And Brihadaranyaka Upanishad talks about prana joining jiva, and Chandogya talks about prana joining Agni Tattva. Panchabhuta is only rudimentary body, which will evolve into full body later under a process. There is a process for this rudimentary body to evolve into a full body. Of this, we are now in the first sutra of this Adhikaranam. Prana joining the jiva is the subject here, based on Brihadaranyaka Upanishad support. And Vyasacharya justifies prana joining jiva. Now let us see the general analysis of this sutra. So I just only set the tone for this particular Adhikarana. Let us see the general analysis sutra, this sutra. Here Vyasacharya says, prana joins jiva. And jiva is referred to as adhyakshaha, the head of the unit, consisting of what? The mind, prana, the karmas and all that thing. And in support of this prana joining the jiva, three statements from Brihadaranyaka Upanishads are taken. And the first one talks about prana going to jiva. We already read all this. I'm just only recapping so that I can take to the next sutra. This is a preamble to the next sutra. So the first one talks about prana going to jiva. Jiva Upagamana Vakyam 4.3.38 of Brahma Sutra, we already read. Atmanam Antakale Sarve Pranaha Abhisamayanti, we already read that statement. And it talks about the prana accompanying the jiva. It is called Anupagamana. Now Upagamanam here, so going near, and Anupagamana means going with it. Upagamana means going near. Anupagamana means going with it. And the third vakyam is prana's coexistence with jiva, which is called avasthanam. Now we have got a third word, avasthanam. One is going near, another is going with it, and then third one is avasthana, coexistence. Avasthanam is indicated in Brihadaranyakaupanishad Vakyam. It says, Jivatma is aware of its future. The Jivatma is aware of its future, where it goes, what birth it goes, all that thing it knows. It is aware of the next bundle of prarabdha. The next bundle of prarabdha that is carved out of the Sanchita Karma. It is already now starting to fructify. The Jivatma knows. Jivatma senses the next birth at the time of death, cremation itself. And Shankaracharya argues, if Jivatma should be aware of the future at the time of departure, only if mind is a Jivatma, then only it can be aware. So mind should be the Jivatma. If the mind should be there with Jivatma, prana also should be there. We already saw that earlier, because prana is the container of the mind. Therefore, mind and prana together, along with Jivatma, we come to know from the Savijnana Vakyam of Brihadaranyakaupanishad. Savijnano Bhavati, that is called Savijnana Vakyam. Prana mana utkramantakum sarve pranaha anu utkramanti savijnano bhavati. 4.4.2 of Brihadaranyaka gives this particular statement. All the three vakyams reveal the prana goes to jiva. This is the general analysis of this sutra 4. Now let us do the word analysis. Saha. Saha refers to that prana. We have to supply joints. So prana joins. Adyakshe. Adyakshe means this jiva. This jiva, this prana joins this jiva, the head of the unit. Tat upagamadibhyaha. This is known from the Shruti statement, which reveals the union of prana with the jiva and other similar statements. Upagamadibhyaha. Adibhyaha refers to other similar statements also, etc. So the significance of the words now. Saha refers to prana. Here prana is loaded with sense organs and mind. And so saha is loaded prana at the time of death. It's a loaded prana, fully loaded prana with all of them. In another Brihadaranyakaupanishad also, that's an example of which we already dealt with in detail during the Brihadaranyaka lectures. A bullock cart was given for shifting the residence of the jiva to the next birth or new body. Now figure it out. A bullock cart was given, so all the items are all loaded into that and was taken to the next body. These are all, figure it out. And tat upagamadibhyam. So tat refers to the jiva, and upagama means joining. So prana joining jiva is tat upagamanam. Adi means this known, etc. This is known from prana joining jiva, etc. The vakyam kept in mind is what? 4.3.38 of Brihadaranyaka, which I just read. And adi means etc. So this refers to the anugamanam and avasthanam, both. And these two are revealed through four, avasthanam and anugamanam. Avasthanam refers to the coexistence, as I told. These two are revealed through the 4.4.2 of Brihadaranyakaupanishad mantra that also I just now read. Therefore, prana joins jiva at the time of death. Now let us go to the next sutra of this adhikaranam, adhyaksha adhikaranam. Bhuteshu tashrutehe. Bhuteshu tashrutehe. Fifth sutra, second pada, fourth chapter, 501st running Brahma Sutra. And Vyasacharya here talks about the second phenomenon that takes place at the time of death. While prana is joining jiva, jiva is planning to take to new birth or new body. Prana is joining jiva, and jiva now already plans to take the next, it already is now aware of the next birth. So it is now preparing to take the next body. It prepares for the raw material for the next physical body. In the world, there is vast amount of raw material available for the physical body to be made. And out of the total sthula bhutas, all the grass bodies, a small portion from the samashti, the total, is stuck to jivatma. And from the raw material, it has to evolve next physical body. Don't ask for proof or anything. How can see all that? They are all given in the Shruti. We are only stating what Shruti says. All this proof and all you can never find anywhere. This is what is said, and that's what we are saying. So, so it doesn't appeal to my mind, it doesn't, it is beyond me and all that thing, it will be beyond us only. There is nothing wrong about it, nothing unusual about it. So these panchabhutas only, they take the form of new body as stated in the Panchagni Vidya. In the Panchagni Vidya, we already seen all these details. Therefore, this sutra talks about the jiva joining the panchabhutas. Panchasthula bhutas, understand, the subtle body, the subtle physical body. It is sthula bhutas, the subtle sthula bhutas, pancha sthula bhutas, or it is pancha sthula bhuta amshas, which is raw material for the next physical body. And when the jiva joins with the pancha bhutas, something else also is there. Prana has joined, and jiva alone with prana joins the pancha bhutas, and it is this phenomenon that is talked about in the Chandogya Upanishad. We can also say prana joining panjabhuta or jiva joining panjabhuta. Both are fine because we have already seen that. Therefore, Chandogya Upanishad says pranaha panchabhuta amshe shampadyate. That's what it says. But Chandogya Upanishad does not say prana joins the panjabhutas. It takes the agni tattvam part. That was the difference. We already started to make the difference earlier. It says, it doesn't say directly panchabhutas, it takes the agni tattvam part only. The word agni here is understood as upalakshanam for panchabhutas, because agni is one of the panchabhutas, so it is taken as upalakshanam, so it means all the panchabhutas. We should interpret prana joining agni tattvam is equal to prana joining the panchabhuta tattvam. Now let us do the word analysis. Bhuteshu. Bhuteshu means the jiva with prana joins the five gross elements. Five gross elements, the jiva with prana joins. Tat shrute, all that we have, bhuteshu, we have to supply all that. Tat shrute, this is known from the shruti statement, Vedavakyam, which reveals this particular, this information. Now let us see the significance of the words. Bhuteshu refers to panchasthula bhuta amshas, the minute portions of the five gross elements, which is the raw material for the next physical body, which takes place in the form of gradual evolution, which is discussed in the Panchagni Vidya and discussed in the first adhikaranam of the third pada, which I mentioned earlier, Tadantara Pratipatyadhikaranam, the first sutra, Tadantara Pratipattau Ramhati Samparishvaktaha Prashna Nirupanabhyam. That is the first sutra, first pada, third chapter. Tadantara pratipattau ramhatim samparishvaktaham prashna nirupanabhyam. That is the sutra that discusses this particular thing. Tashrutehe. All these are indicated by the shruti statements. Tadbodhaka shrutehe. All these shruti statements, they convey this idea. And Chandogya Upanishad 6.8.6. Pranaha tejasi. That is the portion of the mantra. Tejasi sthula panchabodham amshe. Tejasi refers to the Agni Tattva. So it is also part of the Panchabhutas. So it is only, it is to be taken as only as Agni is taken as Upalakshanam for the entire Panchabhutas. That is the conclusion. Now let us go to the next sutra. Adhyakshadhikaranam Naikasmin Darshayatohi. Naikasmin Darshayatohi. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya answers a possible question. And Chandogya Upanishad says, prana sahita jiva or jiva sahita prana joins agni tattvam. That is what Chandogya Upanishad said. We saw it just now. The Purva Pakshi says here, the Upanishad mentions only agni tattvam, and why do you interpret as pancha bhutani? Why you want to bring all the other bhutas? Only it talks about agni tattvam. You take the lakshyartha and not the vachyartha. And we also know that between Vachyartha and Lakshyartha, Vachyartha is stronger, that we all know. So how do you give up Vachyartha and take Lakshyartha is his question. When one element is mentioned, why do you take all the five elements? Because if you take only one element, body cannot be made. You need all the five elements. And Vyasacharya gives Shruti Vakyam elsewhere. It says, jiva joins not one element, but five elements, that is said in that place. And there is a verb there. These are all implied by how much of grammar and everything a person should know before we interpret all these. It uses the verb darshayata in that mantra. We are going to read it. So there are two factors or pramanam revealing the truth here. The subject should be two. So Vyasacharya says, what are the two? And Shankaracharya says, the two refers to question and answers occurring in the Panchagni Vidya of Chandogya Upanishad, which is 5.3.3 of the Upanishad. Or Chandogya Upanishad, 5th chapter, 3rd section, 3rd mantra. Veta yatasau loko na sampuryata iti na bhagava iti veta yata panchamyam ahuta vapaha purusha vachasaha bhavanti iti naiva bhavati iti. Is the mantra. I'm not going into details of this mantra because we have discussed all in great detail. Then I'm only capturing the idea here. Apa purusha vachasaha. That is what I just, apa purusha vachasaha, it says here. So ahuta vapaha purusha vachasaha, that is the statement in the Upanishad. So this statement says, in that vidya portion, Panchagni vidya portion, there is a dialogue between Shvetaketu and Pravahana Jaivili. This is the discussion there, Shweta Ketu and Pravahana Jaivili. There is a discussion. And that is where this mantra comes. What travels along with Jiva is discussed. And there also, there is reference of one element. And through that discussion also, we concluded that five elements go with the Jiva. This is the reference Acharya gives. There also only one element was mentioned, whereas through that one element, we inferred it is only five elements. This was further discussed also in the Brahma Sutra in the third chapter, first Brahmanam, first Sutra itself, first section. Vyaptakatvatu Bhuyastvat. That is the second Sutra of the first Pada, third chapter, the next mantra to what I read earlier, just now. So, Vyaptakatvatum Bhuyastvat. That's the second Brahma Sutra or this first Pada, third chapter. The issue has been settled already. And another interpretation is, instead of question and answer, we take it as Shruti and Smriti Pramanas. Question and answer we take between, because Shweta Ketu and Pravahana Jaivili. But here, you don't have to take it as question and answer. It can be taken as Shruti and Smriti Pramana. We know five elements, they travel and not one element. That is also another conclusion one can draw through that Shruti statements also. So what are they? The Shruti Pramanam is given from Brahadaranyaka Upanishad, 4th chapter, 4th section, 5th mantra, Savam Ayamatma Brahma Vijnanamayo Manomayaha Pranamayaha Chakshurmayaha Shrotramayaha Prithvimayaha Apomayaha Vayumayaha Akashamayaha Tejomayaha Atejomayaha Kamomayaha Kamomayaha Krodomayaha Krodomayaha, all that. So here, I am Atma Brahma, Vijnanamayaha, Manomayaha, Pranamayaha, all that. So Prithivimayaha, Apomayaha, etc. also there. Prithivimayaha, Apomayaha, Vayumayaha, Akashamayaha. So it is clearly said that Jiva is surrounded by five gross elements. They travel after death. And this is Shruti Pramanam from Brahadaranyaka Upanishad. Shruti is Veda. And second one is Smriti Pramanam. There is Manusmriti. Manusmriti, first chapter 27th. Mantra in Manusmriti said, Anvyo matra vinashinyaha darshardhanam tu yaspritaha thabisardhamidam sarvam sambhavatyanupurvashaha. Here it is said that panchabhutas are there along with Jiva at the time of creation. And Shankaracharya gives the logic also. We know from our experience that our physical body is made up of five elements. Body is made up of refined clay only with all the five elements. So we have Jalatattvam, Agnitattvam, Vayutattvam, Akashatattvam. They are all there. Instead the stomach is Akash. All that things are all there. So since we clearly say that Karyam is Panjabhuta and therefore Karanam also, there should be Panjabhuta. And the Karanam also, the subtle form of that should be there. Now let us see the word analysis of this sutra. Na jiva. Jiva is not here. So, ekasmin. Ekasmin means associated with one element. Jiva is not associated just with one element. He means because. Darshayata. Shruti and Smriti say so. So, they reveal otherwise. That's why they say so. So, the significance of the words now. Na ekasmin. It is not associated with one element. On the other hand, it is associated with five elements. That is the conclusion. darshayata. Because Shruti and Smriti, they teach otherwise. Tejasi then should be taken as only upalakshanam for five elements. Not just only one Agni element, but it is upalakshanam representing all the five elements. So Chandogya Upanishad Vakyam refers to one element, Tejas. Brihadaranyaka Upanishad refers to five elements. So when Shruti support is there for both, when both are equally powerful, because both are equally supported by Shruti, when both are equally powerful, then how you can then take only five elements? Then you have to apply the rule, whichever has got logic support also. So Shruti, Yukti, Anubhava, all we have to go through before we interpret a particular statement. Whichever has got logical support, that only will win. So five element vacuum is powerful due to logical support. Our body is made up of five elements. It cannot be made up of only one element, that we all know. Therefore, the raw material is a mixture of five elements only. Now we will focus on the specific Agnani, since we concentrate on Krama Mukti. We are not talking about Sadhya Mukti here, we are talking about Krama Mukti. So now we have to focus on the specific Agnani. We are going to talk about all those in further sutras. We will go to the next Adhikaranam. Asrut Yupakramadhikaranam. It has one sutra. Samana cha Asrut Yupakramat Amritatvam cha Anuposhya. That is a sutra. Samana cham asruti upakramatim amrutatvam cham anuposhya. Seventh sutra, second pada, fourth chapter, 503rd running Brahma Sutra. There is no departure for the knower of Nirgunam Brahman. First statement you have to understand. There is no departure for a jnani who knows Nirgunam Brahman. His pranas are absorbed in Brahman. Here, one aside topic is as analyzed here in this sutra. Now, let us do the general introduction to this Adhikaranam with only one sutra. Here, the subject is what? Whether the Upasaka has got gati travel or not. Upasaka has travel or not. We know Upasaka also travels after death. And the reason for the analysis is, the Shruti uses certain words which can create confusion. It is all because of the Shruti only we go through all these problems. It uses certain words. One word is Vidwan. It uses the word Vidwan, which is used in the name of Saguna Upasaka and also Nirguna Jnani. Both are called Vidwan. Again, the Shruti uses the word Vidya also in two meanings. One is Saguna Upasana is also called Saguna Vidya. And second is Nirguna Jnanam also. And thirdly, the Upanishad uses the word Amritatvam also in two meanings. First is absolute immortality, Amritatvam. And second meaning is relative immortality, which is in the form of Brahmaloka Prapti. Not Brahma Prapti, Brahmaloka Prapti. In Brahmaloka, one can live for very, very long time. The life in Brahmaloka Prapti is called relative immortality. Absolute immortality is called Atyantika Amritatvam. And Brahmaloka immortality is called Apekshika immortality. Suppose I make a sentence. Vidwan Vidyaya Amritatvam Prapnoti. If I say Vidwan through Vidya attains immortality, it will have two meanings. One is Saguna Upasaka, a Vidwan, through Saguna Paramatma attains immortality, or Nirguna Jnani through Nirguna Jnanam also attains immortality. Because two meanings are there, we should know whether departure from the body is for both of them, Saguna Upasaka and Nirguna Jnani. The departure and travel is common to both of them or not. And the Siddhanta says, Nirguna Jnani does not depart, does not leave the body and travel and all those things, doesn't apply to Nirguna Jnani. The journey mentioned in the Chandogya is not applicable to a Nirguna Jnani. In his case, the death procedure is different, which will be taught later. In this context, when we say Vidwan, Vidyaya Amritatvam Ashrayet, we should understand through Saguna Upasana, Saguna Vidya, he attains Apekshika Amritatvam, temporary immortality. Travel and departure involved in case of Saguna Upasaka are very similar to other non-Upasakas also. Upasaka will have the same lot like ritualists, all karmis. Now, let us see the general analysis of this sutra. And Vyasacharya says that departure for Upasaka Departure means not departure from one town to another. This is ultimate departure. Departure for Upasaka is exactly the same as departure in the case of ritualists, as well as other people also. In the case of Upasaka also, the vag and the indriyas will dissolve into manas, and mind will dissolve into prana, and prana will join the other two units, all that we saw. And the Upasaka has got sthula shariram in Brahmaloka. Upasaka goes to Brahmaloka. There also he gets a sthula shariram. And then the question naturally will be, if all stages are same for non-Upasakas and Upasakas, don't bring Jnani here. If all stages are same for non-Upasakas and Upasakas, and they come to the Hridayam, what is the superiority of the Upasaka who are going to attain immortality? Is the question. The question is understood. If all stages are same for a non-Upasaka ritualist and Upasaka, and they come to the Hridayam, what is the superiority of the Upasakas who are going to attain immortality? You say all are the same. For that, Vyasacharya says, up to this stage, up to coming to Hridayam, withdrawal sip is same for both. The bifurcation takes place after reaching the Hridayam. After coming to Hridayam, how they take the route, is the root difference comes only from that point. From the Hridayam, all Ajnani Jivas have to come out from various nadis. All the Ajnani Jivas include Upasakas and ritualists, all non-Upasakas, all together. We are not talking about Jnani here. All the Ajnani Jivas, they have to come out from various nadis, and this is the internal journey of all the people, all the Ajnanis. And having come to the periphery of the body, and then they take different route to take different places in their external journey. External journey, you cannot see all that. It's all scriptural. So there we see the difference between the Upasaka and non-Upasakas. They take a special nadi or special route. The Upasaka will have special internal journey to the Sushumna Nadi and go to the top of the head. There's a Brahmarandram and all that here. From Hridayam through Sushumna Nadi, go through the split in the throat and go through the center of the head. That is all Brahmarandram and all that thing, and go straight to Brahmaloka. All that we have seen. So the non-Upasaka Ajnani will have internal Nadi through non-Sushumna Nadi. Only Upasakas going to Brahmaloka will go through Sushumna Nadi. All others, non-Upasakas, Ajnanis, they will all go through non-Sushumna Nadi. They will go through different part of the body. Thereafter, the non-Upasaka Jiva will travel through other than Shuklagati. Those who go through Sushumna Nadi and go to Brahmaloka, that is called the Shuklagati. So all others will go through all other Gatis, Krishna Gati, through any other Nadi. This is what is said in the sutta. So a person raises the question, why should Upasaka travel through Sushumna Nadi and travel through Shuklagati, etc.? Why travel through Shuklagati for immortality for a Upasaka? And Vyasacharya makes it clear, Jnani's death does not involve travel. We have to be very clear about it. We are not talking about Jnani at all here. Jnani's death does not involve any travel. Now let us do the quick word analysis. Samana. Samana means the process for withdrawal is the same only. Cha means for a meditator, Upasaka, and other ignorant jivas, non-Upasakas. Ashrit Yupakarmatim, until they reach the path of travel. Cha means, however, again, Amritattvam. Amritattvam refers to immortality. Promise for the Upasaka is only a relative immortality. Anuposhya, which obtains before the removal of ignorance. Now, this is just word meaning. Let us see the significance of the words. Samana, it means same. The beginning stage of withdrawal for Upasaka and other Ajnanis, they are same. In terms of Chandogya Upanishad, up to the prana stage, it is common to all. Asya somya purushasya prayataha vang manasi sampadyate manaha prane pranaha tejasi tejaha parasyam devataya. Ashrit Pakramatim, Shruti means path of travel, consisting of two portions. One is internal path, indicated by the nadi, and the other travel after death. and there's twofold margas, upakrama, the marga prapti, until jiva reaches the path of journey, up to that marga they travel together. Both are same, samana. The railway station is what? Is hridayam. That's the junction. Thereafter, in the case of upasaka, one takes the special path of sushumna nadi and shuklagati and amritatvam. Amritatvam cha, immortality obtained, is also apekshikam anuposhya. The ajnana nasham vina amritatvam. This is ajnana nasham vina amritatvam. Without getting rid of ignorance, the person got amritatvam. Means what? It is an immortality. It happens before the destruction of ignorance. Therefore, amritatvam, that comes before the destruction of ignorance. Anuposhya. Anuposhya means upa plus vush means it is to burn down. Here it means after burning down, before burning down the ignorance, they get this temporary immortality in Brahmaloka. Immortality that is promised for Upasaka is relative immortality, which can be obtained before burning down the ignorance. Still he has got avidya, which is in the form of Brahmaloka prapti. One can get, live for a long time, and there also only after gaining knowledge a person can get mukti, permanent mukti. And this is different from moksha or liberation. This Brahmaloka prapti is different from moksha or liberation. Jnani obtains moksha while upasaka gets krama mukti. With this aside topic, this is aside topic that we just only went through for the sake of completion here. With this, the fourth adhikaranam is over. Now let us go to the next adhikaranam in the next class. Yo vedadau swaraprokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakritilinasya parasamaheshwarah. Purnamada purnamidam purnat purnamudachyate purnasya purnamadaya purnamevavasishyate. Om shanti shanti shanti. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha.